Flying 11 from the Flying series. When all I have is Earth's sun warming my horizons, sweet psyche, tender wings fluttering anxiously, for it is the flight that matters, dragging my aging dreams, persevering in all kinds of weather, reaching heights of Icarus, heights of the supreme. Each creation immortalizing mortality, keeping it alive. Creations blowing everywhere, through my eyelashes, through the skies. Flames and eyelashes becoming one. Scorching our weaknesses, guiding lost souls. When all I have is a dandelion pappus to blow, seeds floating through the vortex to the cerulean ethers. For it is the flight that matters. Chasing my windy wishes. Releasing the nails of mental prisons. Drifting breaths of nature, breaths of freedom. Each ideal golden energy sent into pure light. Ideals blowing everywhere, through my heart, through the skies. Zephyr and heart becoming one. Subduing the ego to service the higher good. When all I have is efflorescence blooming in my garden. A farmer of senses cultivating the fruit of the gods. For it is the flight that matters. Picking my deciduous emotions, turquoise showers reviving withered hopes, chanting priestesses of protection, priestesses of safekeeping, each inspiration soothing upheaval, melodious salvation, inspirations blowing everywhere, through my mind, through the skies, incantations in mind, becoming one, blessed with the power of flowing divine energy. And all I have is paper and pencil for some simple words, creating poetry between invisible gods and visible mortals. For it is the flight that matters, rekindling my courageous verse. Grateful in defeat and victory. Dressing ideas in armor, ideas in silk. Each vision a sacred icon in my pilgrimage. Visions blowing everywhere, through my spirit, through the skies. Matter and spirit becoming one. Empowering our lives with universal fire. And all we have is the ray of a new dawn in a dewdrop. Light triumphing, heralding a new beginning. For it is only the flight that matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexander. The musician is up by the GPO. He thinks he's playing the Point Depot with the volume, but we just have to deal with them all. We're going to stay on Zoom for the second one because Doc Janning, I'm not sure where he's located, but it's getting late there as well. So, Doc, you're up when you're ready.
I am in Ohio in the U.S., so it's only about 5:30 here. Dreams. In the synergy of afterglow, waves of dreams become gentle rains falling into a calm pool of love, creating ripples. It is the beginning of a sacred journey, a journey through the secret memories and joys of time. We dream in ineffable fractals and infinite moments of time of space and shapes, known and unknown, of life's lotus in infinite variation, of love in all its joys and sorrows. And our dreams are woven on looms of fate and distilled in the alembic of eternity. Then, kissed by the fires of time and resonating voice of the multiverse, become us. Have I time for another?
Thanks, Doc, and thanks for joining us from Ohio. We appreciate you being here. So we're going to come into the room and we're going to start with Jason J. Fisher.
So yeah, my name is Jason J. Fisher. I had a blast from my past that did not sit well with me, so I've got an angry poem called Death Sticks. So we'll see how we go. I can only be boisterous, so I'm gonna try to drown with these guys. All right. I don't know about fortune or glory. What's most important for me, memento mori. My life can be a suspenseful story or full of events which bore me. And I know I gotta let go of those death sticks. But this flow is so, so deft and electric, and I guess it's, I hope to live life the best I can, taking note of the best bits. I push cancerous thoughts down from my mind, further down the line, cause I'm covered in soot and grime, hoping the tumor they find in 25 years time is benign. And people will ask, man, why are you so goddamn strident? You don't understand the devastation of the evisceration. It's because I laid in a stagnant pit of stagnation for 6 years and I almost died inside it. Somehow I survived it, and the jury is still out if that escape route was divinely or self-guided. Now that bright white light is sparking, arcing, invading the cracks, the crevices, the current residence of the humming dark things. Don't you hear the melody they're strumming upon each and every one of my heartstrings? And remember, you're never a dusty, done, dumb thing, but rather forever in the process of becoming someone, something. And I'm steadily sketching out a meticulous list of what to do while I'm alive. I keep it fluid inside until the solid conclusion arrives. I'll do my best not to let death ruin the vibe. I'll do my best not to let death ruin the night. And I keep my eyesight tied tight to the blue and the white, and death died, but I resurrected him just right. So we continue to tussle and fight with muscle and might, and he'll win at the end of the day. But today, I get to say, I'm living my life fully and completely. For I fear we're here but once and ever so briefly. And I get to begin to begin again, and I get to begin to live again, and I get to begin to win again, and I get to begin to begin again. My name is Jason J. Fisher. My Instagram is words by JJF. Write that down. Thank you very much.
Nice bit of advertising at the end, Jay. Whatever you do, don't be fucking shy about what you do. So next up, here we go now, pronunciation, is it? Yeah. Is it Eilish? Oh, wow, Eilish Byrne. Now, what's your Instagram page, Eilish? Tell them.
You wouldn't be able to spell it.
Never known, pronounce it.
If you want my Instagram, you can ask me. Hi, my name is Eilish. This is my first open mic night. I'm going to give just a trigger warning for this one, so it's an essay trigger warning. And this poem is called Finish Your Fucking Sentence. I remember rainbow-shaped stretch marks across your lower back, your skin the inside of a flower petal to touch, a boyish face, clean-shaven, absent of a beard you couldn't yet grow. I remember the moment. I was lying there, prone, naked and pale, flesh stretched over bone, breathing on your single bed in your family home. Just breathing. Not a sound, not a word. There you were, at the foot of my throne. You sat up casually, put yourself in me like a probe. A battering ram right through my front door. Horror enveloped me like a damp, dark cloak. What the fuck? Get out of me. You crawled up beside me then. I'm sorry, are you okay? As if you'd tripped. I don't know, was all I could say. Then I looked over at you, sniveling. Crocodile tears in full flow, you began frantically repeating, I'm so sorry, you know I would never. Over and over, I'm so sorry, you know I would never. Never what? Violate me in your mother's home. Treat my body like an object, as if it's something you own, as if it's just meat, sinew, and bone, instead of a sacred, mighty home, a temple for the soul you claimed to love. You were my bomb shelter, my respite, my cabin in the woods away from it all, but you were also the bomb, the burnout, the killer, stalking through trees, stabbed me with a knife and began to cry and plead, as if it wasn't you who made me bleed and bleed and bleed. I'm the villain now, for texting you, for wanting to speak to you about the sentence you never finished, wanting to speak to you about every time you put yourself or your fingers in me like a pickpocket thieving me of dignity. I can't do this. Your response. You called me unfair. For wanting to dig up the grave, you even had the audacity to say, I wouldn't do this to you. Why? Because it's impossible to hold me accountable for your own abuse. I'll dig up the corpse of your wrongdoings. Let it rot in the light of day. Call it art and say whatever the fuck I want to say.
Thank you.
That was a rather fabulous debut, wasn't it? Thank you, Alicia, and well done, my love. Well done. Now, from here on in, if you don't have an Instagram page details, you're not coming to the mic. Forget about it. It's a new fucking rule. I've just made it up. I will throw you out the window. I will defenestrate you if you don't share your fucking social media details with us. And the first person to have to deal with that pressure is Cathal O'Brien Regan.
So I do happen to have a social media, Instagram. Look up the Corkonian Alchemist.
There you go.
So, so this poem is, well, last week I had a unfortunate circumstance for thinking there was multiple poems to be said, but we quickly got over that. So this poem is called Masked Possibilities. Heavy lies the head that wears the crown yet. Crown with no throne is insanity, so where's the line to save us from the calamity? It's sad to see, because what separates wise men from old crones? Its appearance. We are a coin. Better yet, we are an enigma, because no two people are the same in their responses, for a map is needed to traverse the conversative expanses. A north star with leading compass in all the works. A captain at the helm so he can send on red alerts. Yet those are born with captain scorn and map is torn and blurred. Clouds obscure Polaris and old equipment worn in Ferris, but no. Go ahead, Keep calling them oddballs or freaks, asking are you simple to those who have little to speak? Because if they talk about a subject they like, will have no relevance, those sentences fall on ears that already deafen them. They say our likes are not what interests them. The reason why Ganesha has an elephant head upon his person is not what normal people care for, and that's for certain. So we let the conversation move to topics we've no passion for around normal people and move to the back rooms, back doors that we retreat through. Because through a mask, all things are possible. We can be something that is not us, and people will agree that we are suitable. We are accepted. We have a right to have company, but in our hearts we know that the one we are is not the one they're comforting. Masks are incredible, indelible for life's machinations, for imagination's shot. Why would one want to grand an utterly madcap sensation of the tiniest little detail and hold its wonder when we already made an explanation? Here's your box now, fit in, is what has been forced upon us. Follow the set structure of dialogue and responses. The you are is not accepted, for you do not conform like us, for you do not perform like us. You do not fit into this form like us, so you do not deserve concern like us. Ideals are ideal, and humans are, well, human. And that should be okay, and yet we force ideal on others, expecting others to hold those ideals the same way. Our speciousness is all the same. They claim that their ideas are worth more, but it's worth more to them, and that's what makes us soar. No two people are the same in their responses, for each of us have a different experience, and those are what shape us, and to mold others differently is to show them we are delirious.
Big thank you to the Corkonian Alchemist. The competition for best Instagram name has probably been closed. But we'll see how Ray Hanrahan gets on.
If anybody wants my social media details, I have a Twitter account. It's called Hanrahanarchist.
Maybe the competition isn't closed.
Okay, this is a poem I only saw today. I was looking for one to read for tonight. It was one I wrote actually when I was really, really bloody depressed back about 7 years ago after I came out from mental hospital. And I suppose distance is great. It makes you relate with stuff in that I can actually bear to read the goddamn thing out now. It's called It Is Difficult. It is difficult to dream when reality blows you down and tramples on your former dreams. My inner sky pilot has crashed and left me battered and a sad parody of what I once was. Maybe I should take the tablets and hang on in there. Life has little joy, but death is still as frightening as ever.
I'm not going to attempt to repeat that Twitter handle. But thanks, Ray, and I'm good to know you're in a much better place than you were when you wrote that poem. We're going to jump on to Zoom now, and we're going to have Michelle as our next contributor to the open mic. I look that way. Michelle?
Hello. Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hello. Just say that Michelle does have a second name, but she's a rock star, so she doesn't use it.
Hi everyone, I'm loving your poems. I really wanted to be there with you tonight, but I threw up my back yesterday, showing off as usual, and that's probably how most accidents happen, but I'll be grand. I want to really cheekily fit in a very quick plug before I read you a poem, and that's that there is 1 week left to submit for, if you want to submit any content at all to a once-off newspaper, a free public newspaper, publication that's going out on Culture Night. So one week, if you want to put in something, send it to quirksubmissions@gmail.com. I don't have a fun Instagram handle for that. Sorry. Okay, I'm going to read it, get onto the poem there now. It's called Parking on Beaches. "Hey Siri," he says from the back seat, to his phone in the boot of the hatchback. From the dash, she lights up listening. Then the drums come out from the doors. His fingers leave the car and go to another place. I'm the fifth passenger who took to the floor. Inches over the hot and insect busy ground of Grandia Strand. Out the keyhole, over knees, apartments, blush, tan and sand, and other makeup names. For fun, I daydream their plans as the driver halts at a space too small. We move and I multiply till I lose count and patience. The Pantone Blue keeps interrupting, blocks, canonize as we exhaust the strip. Only for the delicate strung out, I forget they were for living. Only for the wild spinning spokes of bicycles hung too high, and only for the pinstripe shades heavy with beach dust, not yet caught up with the family wash. Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Michelle. You might pop the details of that submission into the chat box there, and I'll give it another shot before we finish up, if you wouldn't mind. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
And we're going to come back into the room for Fintan Deneen.
I'll reveal it at the end.
Oh.
Suspense, because it's a tough game with these handles. Okay. Somebody is trying to find some common ground with you and asks, "So where do you come from?" Next time they ask you that question, reply with, "The soil." And they say, "What, your soil or my soil or?" Say, "No, nobody's soil, because the soil is everybody's soil. It's what we really come from, what we really live off, and where we ultimately return to. For the earthworm has no preference over what's mine or yours, no preference over who you are or what you do or where you come from. No preference, because the earthworm will eat us up just the same." Somebody is trying to find some common ground with you and they ask, "So what makes you you then?" Next time they ask you that question, reply with, "John, you might help me out. The soil. John's on it. John's on it." And you can say that, "My body is made of more microorganisms than it is the total sum of my parents' genetics. So I am more soil body than I am mum and dad." And guess what? That's what makes you, you and everyone soil body too. Somebody is trying to find some common ground with you and they ask, "Do you believe in magic?" I don't know why I've adopted this court persona, but I'm here. Ask them to contemplate just a teaspoon of soil. Say that this teaspoon contains more living organisms than there are people on this planet. That in this teaspoon contains the wellspring of 87% of life on this planet. That in this teaspoon is the largest living system in the known universe. So you can reply next time they ask that with, "But magic isn't even a belief, because the soil is..."
It's magic.
It's magic. He's trying to jump the gun. Somebody is trying to find some common ground with you, and they say, "You know, we live in tricky times. What's going to get us first, you know? Is it going to be another pandemic, a war, a rise of AI? continuous degradation of the soil, which at the rate it's going could mean 40% less global food production in as little as 20 years time. And in 20 years time, there will be 9.2 billion people on Earth. So that means that we're in for it. No matter where you are in the world, rich or poor, nobody is truly secure without food security. And someone trying to find some common ground with you, they reply to that, well, that's still kind of tomorrow's problem, right? Say that 52% of the world's soil is already degraded, and that next time you eat an orange, consider that it takes 8 more oranges for you to get the same nutritional value as it did for your grandfather to eat just one. And they say, well, there's still the vote of biotics and so on, isn't there? So guess where those come from too? Someone is trying to find some common ground with you, and they say, well, that's a bit of a downer, isn't it? Is there any hope? So yes, there is hope in the Save Soil movement. Which is a single pointed initiative to restore the world's soils to health, because if the soils can be restored to health, not only can future generations be fed, but the miracle of restored soil means that it can actually reverse climate change. Someone is trying to find some common ground with you, and they ask, what can I do? Just spread the word. Just raise soil consciousness and get it into the climate change conversation, because this is a very big challenge that we face. Somebody is trying to find some common ground with you, and you might say to them, in the 16th century, Leonardo da Vinci said that we know more about celestial bodies than we do about the magic underneath our feet. So it is time to respect this magic, because this magic is our true common ground. We're here. Oh, thank you for such a wonderful night. SaveSoil.org is the website. Thank you.
Thanks, Vincent. I'm assuming SaveSoil.org is not your Twitter handle.
But it'll do. It'll do, yeah. It would be great if teachers actually taught you about things like that. Do you know what I mean? Through poem. Mind you, you were caught out. That would be like your teacher when he asked you the question. He won't go there. He won't. We've already gone there. Stop, stand, please. Next up, we have Daniel Scholl. Scholl. Fair enough?
Yeah, that's good. So if I could indulge you with a prelude before I read this. I've recently, in the past couple months, started submitting my poems in a masochistic request for rejection. But over the weekend, I got the results that this poem that I'm about to read was accepted, so hey, bravo to me. Upon getting that email, I read it again, and I said, that's not as good as it could be. So I've edited it, and I'm going to read that now. So this is Rabbits, edited. We tell the story again, like George to Lenny, one last time, one more time. We found our little piece of land, nestled between these bricks, atop this tiny hill, that's tall enough for us, above the fort and city views that we walk through day after day, hand in hand, growing through the scenes that seem familiar now, noticing the nuance in the new, wisdom in the old, as the dots connect, as the universe expands. I'll be careful this time as I hold you close, and you tell me again about the rabbits. Thanks.
And there you have a lesson in the human condition. I'm going to submit poems in the hope that I'll be accepted and feel good about myself. Oh shit, there's a poem been accepted. You know what? I'll fucking change it. Now, next up is a lady who has another novel coming out on the 3rd of September, Patricia Walsh.
By the way, my Twitter handle is Your Anonymous. If you want to know how that spell come up to me afterwards. It's called merchandise. Taking what isn't yours, at least being covered, rewriting scripture to confuse a certain blowhole unsettles the matters. Boiling heads to good effect, forgetting the stymie, risible reckoning catapulted to a personal space. The basic sugar bombs out of a central diet. The conference sketch runs through the decimation. Measure to employment, a lack thereof. Feeding information naturally to the hearsay. Going into the funeral, the worse for assistance. Reading like a barricade, the better to shrink. Speaking the verboten, the disappointed with stopgap. Not rubbished enough to show the condition. Enough to sink associates in the fair fathering sunrise. The burning rain blurring like a Cartwright's hint. Ship up, for you tread my dreams, awakened. Fortitude of earliest fashion gone away. The blind side of future conveyed for possession. Discarding a measure taste. Feeling much better. Piecemeal dislikes ramp up the soft erosion. This incremental loss betrays the taking part, purchasing the stopgap of another shipwrecked god. Stopgap mercy at the hand of the shop teller. Banking on holidays none too severe for sound. Awarded a complexion that none shall demand. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Sorry for the distraction there. We've gone on to Zoom. We've just had we've got another man who's looking to move on because it's getting late in whatever part of the world he's in, which I'm sure he'll tell us about. General Lissimo, I don't know, I'm gone, I don't know. We've got somebody on the list called Massimo, and then we have this one, which is
Generalissimo.
So Generalissimo, you're next.
Brian. Thank you very much. I live in Maine in the United States. I do have an event to get to within an hour, so I'm going to just read a couple of things. I just had it here. I think this was it. Okay. The first is called Fight of the Bumblebee. Bzzz. Hey, hey, Bumblebee. What you doing buzzing around me? I didn't ask for your bite or your sting. Please fly away and leave me be. Bzzz. Wait. What's that buzzing out here? I think it's that bumblebee flying around my ear. I told him to leave me alone. Maybe I should swat him, then he'll be dead and gold. Yes, he's driving me so bonkers, I'm about to fall off my rocker. But hold on, God made him just like he made me. I guess that bumblebee don't mean any harm. He's one little guy, not a whole swarm. I think I'll let him land on my arm. So I hold up my arm and begin to walk. Next thing I know, that bumblebee begins to talk. You human beings, I don't understand your kind. You think us bumblebees just fly around and buzz, buzz, buzz. Your narrow minds just ruffle my fuzz. Hey, hey, bumblebee, what you doing buzzing around me? What right do you have cutting me and my own down? He just says us bumblebees got minds of our own. We do so much more than buzzing and flying around. Then he flew away, speeding through the air. And it didn't take long to forget he was there. And now, 5 haikus about tomatoes. 1, biting into a juicy homegrown tomato can be quite messy. 2, the green tomato who got fried before it was ripe was delicious. 3, gazpacho with green zebra tomatoes is soup that is best served cold. 4, Mary, Queen of Scots, ate a bloody tomato, then drank some vodka. And finally, 5, a jalapeno asked a tomato to dance, and salsa was born. I just want to say that I do have a book. I do have a book for sale, and I'll put some events that I'm having in the chat, as well as the book, how to buy my book. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Enjoy your sleep. Next up, we are back in the room for Margaret O'Regan.
Oh no!
That was Brian, I take it. Thanks, Tim. Just to put in a plug as well for Slutty Virgin, it's on. Sue and I are going to be taking part in it, and it's on the 27th and 28th of this month. So anyone, and also it's online if anyone, or it's like on Facebook if anyone wants to book tickets or anything. This particular poem that I'm going to read was actually written by my daughter, Hilary Sheehan. It's very short, and I'll read another one as well of my own, but this one is called Blob by Hilary Sheehan. The inhabiting black blob makes heart throb. Boom, boom, boom. We are marooned in an island of flesh and bone. No more. Expanding, contracting, enacting sweats, attracting bets of ones or zero. Zero sum game this life. That's it. And another short one, seeing as we have Doc Jenny, this particular poem I wrote, and I spent a whole week studying the brain and what happens at a certain point. And I ran it by Doc Jenning at his Owen Nights session during COVID, during the lockdowns. And he said it was because he's a medical person, of course, he said it was correct, everything that I had written, because I was afraid that I had got it wrong. So it's called Love Undiluted, and it's an acrostic poem, so that is what's written down the left-hand side as well. So love undiluted, love when it embeds, when it embodies, ought to be known, ought to notice, velvet-like softness, enveloping the mind and heart. Under the skin, under the rim, naked desire, seething within, dreamily sending high voltage signals in sparks and synapses, connecting, lustily fusing, cylinders firing, undulating, free-floating filaments, terminal throbbing, primed and longing, excitedly rushing towards neurotransmission, dripping, gushing in rapid release.
So I'm just going to say, the Slutty Virgin is online.
I fucking love it. I love it.
So next up we have Sago.
So I apologize by in advance because apart from Sergei, if you don't speak French, you won't understand it. But I was about to like take you on a journey in, because I love walking by night, and there's a text that I wrote when I was studying, but it's way too long and it's way too late for me. So I'm gonna, it's a poem, and that night I was like taking a bath at home and I dreamt that I was a mermaid. So this is about a mermaid. Il y a une sirène dans ma baignoire. Je l'ai vue ce soir par inadvertance. Ses cheveux flottaient comme des algues noires. Je crois qu'elle ignore bien sa chance. Il y a une sirène dans ma baignoire. Elle pense passer inaperçue dans le calme qui suit le soir, loin des lumières de la rue. Il y a une sirène dans ma baignoire. Vous devez sûrement la connaître. Celle à qui vous offrez à boire, celle qui n'est pas qui elle dit être. Il y a une sirène dans ma baignoire. Elle rêve aux éléments lointains où les mouettes bâtissent des nichoirs en oubliant le lendemain. Il y a une sirène dans ma baignoire. On pourrait croire qu'elle se repose avant de repartir sans gloire sous les cieux à jamais grandioses. Il y a une sirène dans ma baignoire. Je vois sa nageoire enchanteresse dépassée de cet écumoire, lieu d'abandon et de paresse. La sirène de ma baignoire me nargue quand le noir s'allume. Elle m'a fait perdre la mémoire. Mes souvenirs loin dans la brume. La sirène de ma baignoire sait très bien pourquoi elle m'agace. mais les jours filent dans ce manoir sans qu'enfin jamais je la chasse. La sirène de ma baignoire garde la clé de grands mystères. Au fond de son plus vieux grimoire, les légendes de notre terre. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sego. Sego said to me when I was putting the old mic list together, is it okay if I read in French? Like granite boulders would say, that's okay.
Do you know what I mean? Thank you so much. Philip Splann is next.
Okay. He's got a very short song. He wants to know, is that okay?
Move the seat. I have to come over this way, Philip, because I can't move the mic stand.
That's okay.
This is Philip's band with a very small, short song for those of you Instagrammers who are okay.
Thank you. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
It's called Magic Fungi. Yeah, it's about going old. Not about magic mushrooms. Remember me as magic fungi, not as an old phornostree. I will dance in circles like magic fungi, not stay old still like an ostrich. I will speak in poetry like magic fungi, not speak all strange like an ostrich. I know I'm not really magic fungi. I know I am really a fallen ostrich. But in me I feel grows magic fungi. Even though on the outside I'm a fallen ostrich.
We can all do a little bit of magic fungi every now and then.
Never say no to that stuff. Massimo, on Zoom, you're up next. I keep looking that way when I should be looking that way. Massimo, you're up next.
Hey, can you see me and hear me okay? Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Always an honor to be here. So, just for a moment, come back to the stillness, back to the absence that fills us. Pour out with love your distilled with the source of our realness that shows us what real is. No matter how real what I feel is, I just let it be there and stay here where here is. The mindless, the eyeless, the earless that mirrors that spirit we see with and hear with. But for now, no spirits, just spirit. As I reappear through the wilderness, find my heart ask how it really is, and then let it beat back. That's where the healing is. I unseal my eyelids and shine where the movie real wheel of the mind is. I try to reveal through its seal of disguises and open its presence and yield its surprises. Can I remember the times when I never knew never and now was forever? Can I remember the pleasure, the pain, whether worse or for better, whatever? Just feel where it's tender. Find peace, no need to piece it together. The stitch in your fabric is perfect, no matter if the work in your pattern is patched or irregular. It's like we're running and running through forests of nothing, till suddenly we see that we are the something. Hunting for love when the truth keeps us stumbling, till we see that we are the truth for uncovering. Maybe the cycle we're stuck in is that to be loved, we must learn to be loving. We're probably here for discovering something we already knew without uttering, whether blossoming, blooming, or budding. Even the process of withering plants us a seed yet unseen of life soon to be coming, coming to be by becoming. Something to see that's so humbling. It's like the further expanding, the more understanding what once was so troubling, suddenly comforting. A puzzle so perfectly puzzling, but back through the wilderness. Only this time it's no longer wilderness. Open fields where there's no innocence lost, least to inner children still in us. Fantasy scatters like glitter while sweetening matter like sugar in batter. Reality gathers our dreams, giving backbone to truth like the rungs on a ladder. With thoughts that outweigh us till we see they're weightless, just waving the waves of our energy's waviness, displayed through this body we're framed in like memory membrane with mazes to graze in. While meanwhile, the soul plays the role of sojourner, the silent worker and wakeful observer, or even the dreamer, the yawner, the yearner, the counter of sheep and the half-asleep herder. But back to the path before we stray any further. Yet even in straying, we find we are further. But still, in staying, I find I am surer if maybe this love is a cause there's no cure for. So follow your heart. If not out of wisdom, then love is a start. As parts of a whole, we're just playing our part. But still being true to yourself is an art. Thank you all so much. Peace.
Thank you, Massimo. Being true to yourself is indeed an art. Now, the next person who's going to be true to themselves and be art for a while that donor, as soon as I can find where I am on this list, will be Cedric.
Her bed at low tide. I worked on your skin with my wooden hands, rolling up in the light, floating motion, up to the fun parts, and you let me. My timing and your mood were just right. I did not know where to go, but your curves gave me a sense of direction until I reached those bushes that you grow secretly grow. I stopped and raised my head above the tall grass to watch the setting sun caress your smooth surface, only to see the life of on it animate the celestial light. You were beautiful and shallow, and I loved you for it. I wish we could play more together, but my wet feet grew cold as the night came. I went home when I knew I could not commit any further. For my social media account, well, it's tied to my offshore account, though. It's a safe harbor, you can't drop your currency. You can call me your guardian angel or gargoyle, it's fine. And send it to me. Let the seagull flow.
Thanks, Cedric. Whatever else happens tonight, do not share your offshore account details with us. We don't want to know. No. Some people just don't have second names. They just refuse to write down second names. Fiona?
Hi, everybody. I've gotten used to being the only Fionn. I'm 41 now, and there's never any Fionns when I was growing up, but when I'm near playgrounds now, I always hear Fionn, Fionn, Fionn. So, well, next to Fionn Rogan is my full name. It's not a. Fionn Rogan. Not the singer, Fionn Regan. So I've been on Zoom once before, but I haven't been on the mic up here before in front of everybody, so it's a nice feeling. And this poem I wrote after doing a poetry workshop about, the topic was everyday miracles, and we were reading a poem about onions. And I went to the toilet, and I was looking at the tiles, and I thought, grout. So here's a grout poem. When most people hear the word grout, they run a mile. Yet it sees us every day when we're naked in the shower and never passes judgment. It doesn't pass comment when we make another chicken curry using every pot in the kitchen, splashing stains left, right and center. Grout is honest. It knows what happens in the bathroom when there's no one around. Blood, sweat, dirt, tears, all these it accepts. It doesn't offer unsolicited advice. It doesn't mind if we don't floss, leave the light on, forget to flush, leave the toilet seat up. Even hippies like the grout between their tiles to be in perfect straight lines. Not everyone sees the labor required to keep it clean. Entire families can be born, raised, retired and deceased under its sign. When the end comes, it stoically drinks the grout remover, hemlock. Thank you.
That was rather brilliant, Phil. Thank you so much. I never thought I'd ever be sitting in a room and hearing a poem read about grout, but sure. I suppose there's been poems written about worse things than grout. Thank you very much. So next, I'm moving because I have two lists here and jump from one to the other. Oh yeah, Danielle O'Sullivan.
This is a poem called Above and Beyond. Ever since I could imagine, she was my idea of heaven. I knew when she is near, for that's when lights appear. I've often wondered how, but I know now, the shine through the cloud signals her arrival loud. Her presence is the world, controlled by this girl. She makes the stars blink with just one wink. Yes, she is an angel, and yes, she saved me with a Pringle. A higher power descended when all this ended.
Right, I think the line tonight is she saved me with a Pringle, like fucking hell. Try and beat that. Try and beat. She saved me with a Pringle. Take that to bed and dream about it. Now, we're going to Sierra Leone, although I've been told since that Swango is actually from Zimbabwe. So, yeah, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much. Greetings, everyone. The name is Pongo, also known as the Honorable Metaphor. As some say, my metaphors are so honorable, they deserve a seat in the parliament. Please do not tell the government, man. If you want my details, you can find them. There is a website there. You'll find my social media from there. So I'm gonna read and recite two poems from my debut book, which unfortunately the hard copies are not available on Amazon, but you can get it on Kindle as an ebook. So the first poem I'm gonna read, let's see. I'll read Dreamer, the first poem in the book. Why should I do it now if I can do it later? That's what I told myself. Distant plans seem safer. Claiming perfectionism, intricate details are fascinating. To realize it's a cover for fearful procrastination. Promising tarred roads for years in a destination. Walk the talk to find your destination, but you can't do that whilst allowing too much hesitation. Talk is cheap. It's not enough to manifest a vision. Dreaming big, but spending hours on television. Hours on a joystick control, but yet out of control. Then later got consoled for ditching study over a gaming console. With the little time I've used on my dealings, I have been making a killing. Yet if I put more work into this, I'll be staking to the ceiling. I'm willing. I'm tired too. And you know the feeling. And if I did it better, it would come with a healing and extinguish the hell in my conscience. Waking up a few minutes before the sun, I just want to be better. I do this for my son, my mother, my family. I am making a plan, no more glorifying comfort until I am done. Completing tasks, a therapy session. I need a recharge through literary meditation. I heal my buckles by reading the wisdom of Wallace D. Wackles. That was Dream. At the next poem, I took time to memorize. And I'm hoping you can hear me quite well because of the network issues we have this summer. Anyway, that's a story for another day. This is titled The Rain Dance. It's about a tradition, a ritual they used to do in times of drought in Zimbabwe. Not in Zimbabwe in general, but in my village in particular, where people go out and ask for the rain from the gods. So inspired by that, I wrote this poem. We all sit around the fireplaces, the tongues of the fire seemingly taunting our hungry looking faces. We had not left the room, no, none had the nerve, not until the ritual was over. We sat on the floor, cross-legged, frozen, waiting for the first droplet. The ground smelt of the sea, spring had come and gone, but even the trees that hung onto their leaves were grieved to hear them fall to the ground, raising tons of dust that hung above our heads like a friendly ghost come to boast. The rhythm of life got sing to the cries of the bleeding goats. We had drank their blood and ate the flesh of their kin in an effort to keep soul glued to skin. The people were quiet, but each whispered in their minds the truth unspeakable. The cross steeple that stood atop the cathedral, seemingly violating the sky, rendered her barren. Gone are the days of the rain dance when the rainmaker through the orifices of the hot springs in Binga disappeared for 7 days and came back with basket loads of harvest maize to tell of a bumper harvest, a gift from the gods of the land. If he came with his hands empty like politicians' promise of food security, the tribe knew that the drums had to beat for the people to clap and the gods to dance until the earth cried tears of rain. We were one with the land, more so gods of the rain. So I pray they tell which goes to this self that let you starve. No blasphemy. Let's have that nonsense. Let's have none of that nonsense for the starving child whose father works the fields but the rains unfold, whose mother gathers the wood but the cat sleeps on the head, whose stomach grumbles the Lord's prayer but all the Lords are deaf. Her shoulders never carry the unpleasant weight of a scuffing as she goes to school. She bends but no resting droplet for her throat to cool. So she learns at school that the globe is getting warm. Mother Earth never speaks, but she whispers silent cries every time a car turns it to a passive smoker, taking it to cloud nine. But do you know what smoke does to lungs? It will create a hole so big the sun will escape the hands of time and burn us all alive. No rain to cool us down, let alone irrigate the Garden of Eden, long lost to the hands of men. Spongo, the Honorable Meta for Peace. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We should always celebrate our cultural differences. I'm fucking telling you now, if Rain's here tomorrow, he's fucking dead. We're staying online. A 5-word challenge winner, Moira, is next.
Right, I wrote this poem a while ago following an article that I read on International Women's Day about where the traditional image of the Wicked Witch from fairy tales comes from. So it's called Witch's Brew. Once upon a time, there were three alewives brewing beer for hearth and home with cats to guard their grain. But the wives dared to sell their brews, placed a broom over the door, ale for sale. Not content, they went to market, cauldrons full, pointy hats upon their heads. All the better to see you with, my dear. Independent women, experts, threats, targets. And the stories were spread, the tools of their trade, the signs of a witch to be feared. Symbols matter, change the meaning, demean them. Cats, now familiars, demons, links to hell, brewed in the cauldron, not beers to sell, but wicked spells, noxious potions, creating commotions, hats above the crowd, proud no more, allowed no more, women to be cowed once more. Mock and twist their independence, deny ascendance to equality, link them with depravity and see three witches. Brew and boil women's toil, hubble bubble, cause them trouble.
Thank you, Moira. And I hope you enjoyed your free drink from your fridge. That's always a
very tasty.
Thank you. What were you drinking?
Gin and tonic.
Belfast
gin, my favourite at the moment.
Well, cheers, and cheers to Aaron O'Neill, who's next.
I also have an Instagram handle, but I haven't updated in over a year, so don't get too excited. It's called I Can't Believe It's Not Poetry. But it is. My poems tend to be quite short, so I'm going to fire off a few here. I can just do one if it's going to stop your heart. Okay. Following is a true story. The evening is ticking away in the corner. Your mother is still drinking with no one to scorn her. But it's not your position to be her pretender. You know that your soothing advice will offend her. Father unwilling to be that bit older, entangled in documents loosed from their folder, but never beholden and never mistaken, always the armistice coldly forsaken. Still, you got that new job in the queue every morning, your older companions all queuing in warning. Your breathless belonging to futures remembered will lose its acceptance sometime in November. And still you're in waiting to be by your teacher, your object, your lover, your friend and your preacher. You know they're indifferent to giving you closure, but you hope for a crack in their steely composure. You sit in your bedroom and think of an ending that you might be present for, weather depending. It's not that you're rushing the train from the station. You fear it's immune to your rushed incantations. That's one. Then I've got a 2-line poem. Yay. See if I can remember that one. Love found is words lost. Love lost is words unending. And there's the last one. This is also a true story, but it's less depressing. Whoa, my hands, they smell like crisps. But all the crisps are fled. Could it be the onion rings I chose to have instead? I try to lick it from my hands, but still the smell persists. And doubts, they start to wonder if this crispiness exists. To the bathroom tread my feet, and soap upon my palms. Relief begins to fill me as I rinse away my qualms. This cheese and onion terrorist disperses into wisps, but forever am I haunted by the phantom smell of crisps.
Seems like all the best nights, best lines of the night are about crisps or Pringles. The phantom, what was the last line? The phantom? Brilliant. I love it. Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, while he gets the munchies thinking about that, now he tries to find the next. Oh, Sue Blue is next.
Thanks very much. We've had a wealth of languages tonight, and I'm going to add to that with my my own first language. Let me try to do this without looking. So it's a poem you might have heard before, if not. I'm going to start with the German version first, and then do the English one. Just in case. Unterm Silbermond. Und wie oft sehe ich mit sehnsuchtsvollem Blick hinauf zu deinem Fenster unterm Silbermond, wo schon dein süßer Körper warm in Kissen ruht, wenn voll Verlangen erst in mir die Nacht erwacht. Zu mancher Stunde, wenn das Mondlicht durch das Dunkel zieht, und mich die Dichtermuse in den Schreibwahn band, verzehren meine süßen Fühlerzellen sich nach Berührung, der Sehnsucht nach Berührung deiner sanften Hand. Und meine Sinne wandern weiter deinen Flanken lang, bis mit ersehnten Beben ich, wenn meine Nacht getan, mich leis an deine weichen Kurven schmiegen kann. Und selig unterm Silbermond in Schlaf entschwinde. Und mein Verlangen wartet auf die nächste Nacht. Under the silver moon. And how often am I looking up with longing gaze to your window high above under the silver moon, where already your body lies in warm duvets, when inside me with desire now the night awakes. In many hours when the moonlight travels through the dark, and the muse of poems binds me in a writing trance, my tender feeler cells are all consumed in longing for the touch from your gentle hand. And my senses wander further down along your flanks until with yearning quiver, when my night is done, I quietly can nestle to your supple curves at last and disappear in bliss to sleep under the silver moon. And my desire is waiting for another night.
Thanks, Sue. Thank God the lights were on. Thank God the lights were on. We're going to go back online for our last Zoom contribution tonight from Mona Lynch.
Thank you. The Cork County Library are bringing out an anthology dealing with the world transformed. And this poem has just been accepted for that anthology. It deals with something. It deals with something that happened in the late 1950s when my sister emigrated and left me her rally bike with a dynamo. I called it High Summer. My royal chariot with singing wheels, a pump for punctures, a repair kit in a leather bag strapped under the shining saddle. After school, I could join friends whiz out the low road to the Sharnock River, where we paddle, lulled by butterworth, sundew, royal fern that clothes the banks. Grey wagtails and dippers, ignoring our shouts, sing their own song. Our 2-pound jam jars at the ready to catch collies tickling our toes as we wade over polished stones. The water meanders from the foothills of the Boggaras, takes a turn at the bridge near Pod's Cross, and joins the Lee at Carrigrohan. Whooping boys dive in the deeper spots. We were warned to avoid whirlpools and boys, but in high grass, peppered with cuckoo spit, I had my first kiss.
Thanks, Mona. Always good advice. Avoid whirlpools and boys. Jim Pritchard is next.
Thank you, Stan. So this poem is actually, Cork City Libraries put it up in Tremor Valley Park.
Lovely.
And I'm hoping there's going to be loads of complaints about it. It's called Sex in the Housing Crisis, of which there's none. It's in there, yeah. We are the generation of born-again virgins. Headboards disturb housemates on shift work. Air traffic controllers should be included in rent to coordinate times to get the ride. Landlords can afford to support our sex lives and change the carpets once in a while. We are the generation of born-again virgins. Like ships in the night, we work to survive. But we are no 30-year-old cargo boats anchored in the harbour, waiting for labour. We are Ferrari red speedboats with miles to go before we sleep. Miles to go before we sleep. We are the generation of born-again virgins. Nothing kills the mood like mildew. Home sense is built on the backs of millennials, fumigating probate houses, converted into one beds, with constellations of mold, and half their salary paid to make out on an old couch facing a microwave. We are the generation of born again virgins. If you're living with your parents, you can forget it. Unless you can face breaking their trust or condoms in the toilet drain. We must not forget about our parents' sex lives. Afraid they're 30-somethings. Oh no, afraid their bed springs will be heard by 30-somethings. So let's give the government hell for this intergenerational dry spell.
Thanks, Jim. And I'm sure your Instagram details are on the poem in the Tremor Valley Park if anybody wants it. Oh yeah, my visions of people out with their families, and children reading that on a Sunday morning. Shocking. They should actually just have a stack of complaint forms next to it. Next up is Jamie, another man who doesn't have a surname. What the fuck is going on? Two more.
Yeah, Jamie Lawton, if anyone's curious. At Jamie Lockdown on Twitter, mostly moaning about politics. Join me in the pit. We had one guest poet who was like multilingual, and another guest poet who's sort of like rap and hip hop inspired. So I figured I'd split the difference. Listen to that, lads, the language is back. We've got podcasts and pop-ups and pretty good rap tracks that backtrack the narrative that it is waning. Waxing's more like it. It's time for reclaiming the Gaelic that ancient invaders would take from us. Not that I'm saying our neighbors are hated, but this is our chance to take it all back in our verses, our poems, our songs, and our tracks. My Gaelic is basic. It needs some more training, but I'll try to rein in my fear of mistaking a shavu or uru or tishul or two, my fear of inflaming a bout of complaining from militant Gaelgory sitting ashamed that I left out some shavaha. All I can say is that if we're afraid of engaging full stop, the rate of revival will drop. And we can't let that happen, because the fact of the matter is that when the Sassenach left us, Ganchanga, they left us with half of our literary hands to be tied up and trapped behind all of our backs. And so just for the crack, I freed up my atrophied love, and let's see what it has in the tank. Nihilach kupla fukla gomak, fana gino med agaseshi gilom, tangachanga bio, agaspechi gajo, ni ma yer yin, sorry, this is why we bring it up on our phone. Okay. My year faena in Rodella, na Ishlo, to pop up Giltuk down, August Banam or kneecap, is a shinanoma vegdena von recap, mar nierna maestoderus gilger fag deflina, aknakunisha on shot egdena of tina air on microphone, ni bean bail in a host, August, to isigum gulcoma, lehena akatasalot, to five ben enough, tadina bucked, tadina sleeping rough, tadina erna shardena, egari four, egari flock. Octard Gultur on a talk took, Star Changa part and ska, Tangilga chopped Erasharish, is Farna Vishiri, Grimalga.
Thanks, Jamie. Right, we had 26 people on the list. We've got two to go. We're really running tight for time, so I don't want to, you know, I'm going to get you up, but don't go beloopers, Rasheen. You sure? All right, are you absolutely sure? John A. Neville in his last.
I have it written on a piece of paper, and I won't keep you long. It's short, and I say that it's ironic that the earlier man that came in tonight with the red beard, his poem is the other side of that, of this. So you are the young side and I'm the old side. I sign my will today. I asked the man. He said, you're on your way. There are no guarantees, my friend. One can't predict the end. But my best guess is 6 months and a day. 6 months and a day. No, I have no wish to pray. Lay me down in deep, dark clay. Ask the people in to hear what I must say 6 months and a day. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Lovely, lovely way to finish what has been an amazing night. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all who contributed. It's been absolutely brilliant. Can we get one more massive round of applause for our two Coventry guests? They're appearing in Clamagintu tomorrow night. That's what happens when you ask for a big round of applause, they take you seriously, you know what I mean? They're appearing in Clamagintu in the spoken word in the Barrows tomorrow night. There's Paul is heading down with them early in the day. I'm going to drive down later in the evening. Anybody wants to come along? Yeah, anyone wants to come along, jump in the car, get a lift on, and join another great night, you're more than welcome, all right? Thank you for being here. I'm not sure whether 674 or 675 is the right number because Paul's got one on each, but it's been the 674th, maybe 5th Ovale night. My name has been Stan Knott. You can get me on Instagram at Stan Knott Creations. Good night.